It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely's Hero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What's your rotation for the rest of the series?
Rick tomorrow, David on Sunday, Eddie will be in the bullpen tonight. With the off day, Eddie will pitch in Kansas City on Tuesday. So we can get multiple innings from Eddie tonight. If we don't use him tonight, he might give us one tomorrow. And hopefully we don't have to use him.
Okay, so here we go. It's been a little bit of time since we've been able to talk about the Red Sox. I know Jim Murray was in for me last night, and thanks to Murray for filling in here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take it right up until 7 o'clock. Red Sox-Yankees on the agenda. We got a number of things we're going to get to. Jack Curry as well from the YES Network will be joining us a little bit later in the program. We'll touch base with him, mostly about the Yankees. One of the things I really like when they play the Yankees is I'm interested in what's going on with the other team, Murray. You know, when they play Kansas City, I couldn't give a rat's ass what's going on with Kansas City or the Orioles or the Blue Jays. Yeah, the Indians interest me, but with the Yankees, there's a level of intimacy there that every little thing the Red Sox do and that the Yankees do is relevant. So it's a good opportunity to check in with someone from New York, and Jack Curry has covered that team for a long, long time, so we'll check in with him. In the interim, we're going to open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. And we are broadcasting to you tonight from just outside the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis, Missouri, where the Bruins will play Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues. So given that the Felger and Maz show is on the road, the Baseball Reporter is also on the road. And I want to start with Alex Cora, who gave you the Red Sox pitching rotation right there. Sale goes tonight. Porcello goes tomorrow. Price goes Sunday. And Eduardo Rodriguez available out of the bullpen for multiple innings tonight. And if he doesn't pitch tonight, he'll be able to give the Red Sox an inning tomorrow because he doesn't start until Tuesday. This is a long, roundabout way of saying that the Red Sox have all their best pitching lined up for this series with New York. All their best pitchers are going. We'll get to Nathan Eovaldi in a minute. He threw a simulated game over at Yankee Stadium today and is nearing a return. But he is not available in this series. Nonetheless, the other guys are. So, again, Sale goes in the first game. Porcello goes in the second game. Price goes in the third game. You'll have Eduardo Rodriguez coming out of the bullpen, possibly for multiple innings tonight, a single inning tomorrow if he does not pitch tonight. And because of the rainout last night, the Red Sox are rested. Okay, they're rested. They were able to sort of get their pitching staff back in order a little bit with that one day. So here is my question to you. As a Red Sox follower and a Red Sox fan, how important is this weekend series to you? Because I think it's very important to the Red Sox. I'll tell you why in just a second. And realistically, when you lay out the fact that they have their pitching lined up the way it is, I don't know if there's much of an excuse for them to not take a couple of games here. Like, you got to start winning some games if you're the Red Sox, and here's why. Murray, true or false, fair or not, important series for the Red Sox this weekend in New York.
Huge. Because if they get swept here, Even though now it's now a three-game series instead of four. They get swept. They lose down to three. You can forget about the division. Like, the wild card's still going to be in play because of how bad the American League is. But it's huge if you still want to try to win this division.
Murray, I hadn't even considered that. Like, as you say it, they'd be 10.5 out.
Yeah, you can forget it.
They'd be 10.5 out if they get swept. And to lose with their best pitchers, like, the division race, for all intents and purposes, might be over. And so here's my point. And I actually wrote about this on the website yesterday. And so, but it's an easy enough thing to say over the airwaves, and I think it translates. 2 weeks ago, May 15th, the Red Sox are entering this stretch of key games against contenders in the American League. Houston, New York, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Minnesota, and those are all teams that are contending for playoff spots. The Red Sox entered a stretch where they were going to play those teams over a 3 or 4 week period. They're now 2 weeks into it, and they've lost 3.5 games in the standings. The deficit in the division has gone from 4 to 7.5. It's almost doubled. So you tell me, when are they going to get their asses in gear? So this all goes back to that start, and I know a lot of people wanted to say that they dug themselves out of it. They didn't. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, it's gotten worse. So Alex Cora touched on a couple of things last night before the game, before the rainout in New York, that I want to play here for you in a minute. But first, we'll take a couple of phone calls again. 617-779-0985. Tom is in Quincy. He kicks us off. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, when I initially was calling, they didn't announce who was going to start for Saturday and Sunday. So I had a fear that it was going to be one of those, you know, like Tampa does, you know, the closer starts and all this crap.
Yeah,
and
the opener, like, right. Well,
the opener, whatever the hell they call us now. I'm like, they suck so much that they can't do that. And I was legitimately, if they were going to come to me, that Cora had the gall or the audacity to start one of those games, I was going to friggin' cannonball off my roof. So, but honest to God, now that we have, like, the rotation set up for the weekend, and there's only three games, not four, so it's no imaginary doubleheader like they talked about yesterday.
Tom, you got to win a minimum. They got to win a minimum of two, Tom. They got to win a minimum of two. Ideally, three. I mean, think of what one weekend could do for them, Murray. Like, you just painted the scenario, and you said, if they get swept, they're 10.5 out. What if it goes the other way?
Well, right, then they're right back in it. Either way, like, look, I still don't believe that I'm dug in on my whole thing. They're not going to make the playoffs. The wild card is definitely within reach. But if they lose two out of three, I think you could, as of right now, you could probably forget about the division. But if this is a disaster of a weekend for them, forget it. There's no shot. And the other thing, too, it's if you even look at last week's series against Houston, last weekend series at Houston, on paper, you would have thought, well, we have Sale and Price, and those are the two games they're going to win. Well, they end up losing those, and Price only lasts, what, 14 pitches because he had the runs? And Rodriguez had a great start, and they end up winning that one. So, I don't know, even though it's set up for them as best as possible here, and they're rested, and now it's a three-game series, and you get your best arms going. I don't know, because on paper, so many times this year, it hasn't worked out for them.
No, that's right. It went totally opposite last week, and it's a fair point. So you can't assume anything. But when you look at it in the standpoint that you just laid out, think of a sweep either way. If the Red Sox sweep, they're back to 4.5.
Yep.
Now, game on. Long way to go. This thing's absolutely, you're in good shape. If it goes the other way, 10.5. 10.5. Now, the likelihood is it'll be 2 out of 3 for one team versus the other. The Red Sox have to be that team. They can't lose more ground this weekend. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Maz? Just want to agree with you, like you said, on Sale. If we get swept, it's over for us, I think. This is a huge series, and I just want to watch Sale, and I just want him to show us something tonight. Like, honestly, like, this is his last chance for me. Like, I've been on and off all year and watching, and if he has a good night tonight, then I'm right back on, like you said. We need the sweep here. We need it.
Okay, so listen, you don't want to quit on Sale. Sale's not really the problem. He's been generally throwing the ball better of late. The problem is that they haven't been winning the games. And we mentioned this earlier in the afternoon show, and I actually looked it up. The Red Sox are 3-8 when Sale starts this year. 3-8. And they're 3-6 when Price starts. So to your point, Murray, that's 6-14. That's 8 games under .500 with 2 starters whom next year you'll be paying basically $60 million to. Now, Sale's number is lower this year. We all know that. And he's a bargain at the moment, but he's a $30 million pitcher. He's that level of talent. So you have those two guys going in this series and all year long. And you're 6-14 when those two guys pitch? 6-14. Like, that cannot continue. Whether it's the result of those guys pitching poorly, and in the early part of the year it was with Sale.
Or they're just not getting run support. Or right. They're, you know, they're in line for a win like Price was the other night, and the bullpen blows it. Like, it just seems to be something always kind of snake bits either one of these two so far this season.
I mean, really, whatever it is, it has to stop. Because you can't lose when those guys pitch if you want to win the division. And I personally think that that's a big thing. Greg is in Lincoln. Greg, what do you got?
Hey, you know, I just want Murray there to take an aim at your wheel of gutless bums over at St. Louis Sports Talk Radio. I don't know if you heard the morning show. The murder capital of the world thinks that the wheel of gutless bums is mean, and I want to get what you think about it. You know, I don't totally agree with it, but this year it's a lot more fitting. I think Brazier sucks. I think the rest of the gang sucks, and they need help right away.
Greg, I'll tell you what. Murray, I'm going to speak for you here for a second, but you can chime in. Not only do I like the Wheel of Gutless Bums, I think we should make it bigger. That's what
yeah,
I think.
No, it needs to expand. There's names that are missing.
I think we should add names to it because they've sucked so bad this year. Now I sound like Tom and Quincy.
We were traveling this morning. I don't know what they're talking about. I guess based on that call, there must be a St. Louis sports radio listening to us recently, and they heard that. And they think it's mean? Oh, F off.
Yeah, well, of course the people here think it's mean. This is like one of the softest media markets in America, for crying out loud. The people here are too nice.
Yeah, look at the best fans in baseball Twitter page for the Cardinals fans. They are not nice.
We interviewed that writer for NHL.com who covers the Blues the other day, and I don't know if that was going into game two or...
Yeah, into game two.
Okay, his team got his ass kicked in game one, and he was like the happiest-go-lucky person on the planet. I was borderline insulted by the guy. I thought, you're way too happy. If you keep up that attitude, your team's going to get its ass kicked. So, in any case, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. I do want to play some sound for you from Alex Cora at Fenway Park, at Yankee Stadium last night. He said a couple of things that I found interesting. One concerned Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees. The other concerned the overall state of the Red Sox and where they are. We'll play those for you. But first, we're going to get the latest on the Yankees, an assessment of how has New York been able to win with all the injuries and issues that they've had. Because New York has won. The Yankees really have been the best team in baseball now for the last 6 weeks. We'll talk to Jack Curry of the Yes Network. That's next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, on that topic, how good a job do you think Aaron and his coaches have done of kind of keeping those
guys? He did an outstanding job last year. I said it all along. You know, it took a historic season for them to finish second in the division. He knows what he's doing. He was very calm last year. He dealt with that adversity. He dealt with the media. It just happened that last year, you know, we won 108 games.
So that's actually from last night. That was, I think, after the rainout, because, Murray, the rainout was early, right? They called the game early in New York. So I think, Cora, typically what happens in that scenario is if the manager has already met with the media, oftentimes he will meet with them again, even if it's 10 minutes later, just to try to give people some indication as to what it means for the pitching staff. But that cut, Alex Cora speaking about Aaron Boone stuck out to me because, boy, was he quick to defend him. Pete Abraham couldn't even get the question out of his mouth. Jimmy, if we could play the beginning again, just because I want Jack Curry, the Yes Network, to hear it as well. Again, this is Cora last night being asked about Aaron Boone and how he's doing in New York. And just listen to how quickly he preempts the question. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Alex, on that topic, how good a job do you think Aaron and his coaches have done of kind of keeping those
guys? He did an outstanding job last year.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't. The point is this. Cora knows that Boone caught some criticism last year. And they work together. They know each other, and they work together in television at ESPN. And so Cora wanted to make it clear. No, he did a good job last year. You guys don't know what the hell he's talking about. So with that in mind, let's bring in Jack Curry of the Yes Network, who's covered the Yankees here for a period of time. He's got a new book out with David Cohen that we told you about a couple of weeks ago. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But, Jack, you tell me, has Aaron Boone changed this year, or is he the same guy, and they're just winning more?
I think he's the same guy, Tony. That's what's interesting, and I think that's kind of the point that Alex Cora was making right there. I do think that Boone's personality has played very well with this Yankee team this season because there has been so much adversity. There have been so many injuries. And when you look at the manager walking through the clubhouse or giving his post-game interviews, Boone's personality has never changed. I remember when the Yankees were 6-9, right before the last time they played the Red Sox, and Boone said something along the lines of, "I feel like we're about to turn the corner." And he was getting killed in the media for saying that because people said, what is he seeing that we're not seeing? But he has maintained that faith. And I think with all the injuries they have endured, that has been a big bonus for him. Other than Rocco Baldelli, who obviously has the Twins playing out of their mind, I think Boone is right there as a candidate for manager of the year.
So, Jack, I tell you what, let's go back to the end of last year, right? Because I'd be eager to hear. I'm not interested as much in media criticisms because you and I both know that we will always find something to latch on to and criticize a manager for, particularly when a team with a high payroll and 100 wins and a lot of talent and huge expectations loses in the postseason. But what was the fan sentiment about Cora like at the end of last year, as best you could tell?
Cora or Boone?
I'm sorry, Boone. I said Cora. I meant Boone.
I think the thing that fans have to understand, Tony, is this, and you and I have both covered baseball a long time. In 2019, your manager is different than he was in 1999 or 1989. Absolutely. There are no more Billy Martins. There are no more Sparky Andersons. The manager is the one sitting in the dugout making the decisions, but there has been a group that has helped lead to those decisions. And that's where I think there was a disconnect with some fans who wondered about some of the decisions Boone did or didn't make. Well, Boone was making those decisions based on a ton of information that the Yankees had given him from either their front office, their scouts, their analytics department. Now, he's the guy who was on the front line and actually has to say hit and run here, pitching change there. But, Tony, they've given him a stack of sheets that are saying, this is the way we think you should go in the seventh inning with two outs. If it happens to be Andrew Benintendi up, this is the pitcher we think you should use. And a lot of the time, the manager's going to go with what the organization thinks he should go with.
Well, so I was just going to ask you that, too, is that he obviously is a guy, and this is a question, he is a guy that is receptive to analytics, as it seems like most modern-day managers are?
As he is, and I've asked him about that, and he's actually receptive to the input, too. He has told me, I want that input. I would be disappointed in my analytic staff and my coaches if they didn't say to me at any given moment, hey, you've got Canely up here. Maybe you should have Ottavino up. Ottavino said he's ready to go, and his slider plays better right now against that right-handed batter. So I think Boone is a modern manager. I think he's a 2019 manager where that job title has changed. His father had that job once, and it was a lot different job, and the manager was the one pushing all the buttons and making all the decisions. That's not the case, I don't think, as much in Major League Baseball now.
Okay, so I'll get the names right this time. Alex Cora last night, Jack, was asked about the Yankees and how they've played so well despite all the injuries and how they've won. I think the question was put to him in such a way by David Lennon that, and Lennon's still with Newsday, is he not?
He is.
Okay, David Lennon of Newsday, for those in Boston here who don't know. Lennon asked him something to the effect of, Or someone asked him something to the effect of, hey, how have you been able to win without the talent? And Cora said, no, wait a minute. This is a misnomer. The Yankees still have talent. LeMahieu's a good player. Their pitchers, they still have a lot of good pitchers. So let's not go minimizing what kind of talent the Yankees have on the field. So let me ask you, is that fair or unfair to Cora to say that? And how are the Yankees winning?
I think here are a couple of the outliers. Domingo Germán. No one expected him to basically do an impersonation of Severino from the first half last season. Have the Yankees always liked his stuff and thought he could be a high-end rotation-type pitcher? Yes, I don't think they saw this coming. And Gio Urshela, everyone knew his defense was gold glove caliber. But, Tony, heading into this year, he had a .225 major league average, and he struggled to stay in the major leagues last season. So for him to be hitting over .330 right now, Alex Cora is right. I mean, LeMahieu is a very good player, and they've had other guys who have performed very well. I've never thought Voit was a fluke. I thought Voit was legit last season. Clint Frazier has also contributed, but I do think that while there is a lot of talent and a lot of depth, for them to be on a 30-10 run right now with this group of players, Tony, there are World Series teams that throughout the course of their 162-game regular season never went 30-10. The 2019 Yankees have a 30-10 on their resume, and we're just getting to June.
Okay, Jack, I'm flapping my gums here, and I know you have pregame commitment, so that's my mistake. But the book with David Cone, which is entitled Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher, tell me about the impetus behind the book.
I always loved watching David Cone pitch when I was a reporter. I felt like the wheels were always spinning in his head, and I thought a great book would be if you could get inside his head and talk to me about the desperate moments, the manic moments, what was it like to be on the mound when you had some doubt and some insecurity. And David said, let's do it. I love that idea. So it started as a pitching journey, but it also became a bit of a personal journey because he really tells a lot of great personal stories in there as well.
And there are Red Sox anecdotes in it for Red Sox fans. He was obviously here in 2001. And I think you told me that you hit the New York Times bestseller list, right?
We did. We hit the New York Times bestseller list in the first week. So we're excited about that. And yes, Red Sox fans will get a kick out of it. He loved Manny Ramirez and he loved Pedro. I'll leave you with that, Tony. I got to go do my pregame.
I know you do, Jack. I appreciate the time, all right? Thanks a lot. Jack,
thanks, buddy.
Jack Curry of the Yes Network, longtime reporter from the New York Times. And again, look, I told you this at the time. We had David Cone on the show. Cone was one of the all-time greats to cover. I can't emphasize that enough. He was great. And the thing I remember, and he had a reputation for just being good with the media in general. And he said, look, a lot of guys have problems with it. I never did. And my experience was that the media wanted two things, accessibility and accountability. And I would tell you that fans would love accessibility, as we all know, but they don't need it. But they do need accountability. And I also think that that's why Cone was a favorite. And Jack has covered the Yankees there for a long time. So, again, the book is Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher, David Cone with Jack Curry. You can get it in all the usual places, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And it's getting nice reviews and being received well. And so if you like a good baseball book, from a couple of guys who know their stuff, that's a good one to read. 617-779-0985. Jim Murray will have your headlines when we come back. I do want to get to more of what Alex Cora said last night, the importance of this weekend series, and even share with you later on in the show an anecdote somewhat related to something that's in that book between from Cone and Curry regarding Doug Mirabelli, who's with the Red Sox. We'll get to that.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporters. Rangers.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Reporters again. Programs in St. Louis. Pilgrim Mass Show in St. Louis for the Bruins and St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tomorrow night. In fact, we'll have an extra show tomorrow beginning at 4 p.m., take up until 7:30 Eastern, leading into Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. In the interim, we're here to do baseball. We're here to do the Baseball Reporters as well, as always, at least on nights when there are no Bruins games. Cubs are in town here in St. Louis, Murray, to face the Cardinals. You going?
We kicked it around before we came here saying, hey, maybe we go to the Sunday afternoon game. But nope, I'm good.
Yeah, no, screw that. Like, I give a rat's ass about those jackwagon teams.
And then with this weather, do you want to sit there for, even though it's National League ball, so it'll probably go quicker, but do you want to sit there for 3 hours? No, thanks.
No, I have a hard enough time watching baseball when I have to. Like, I did my share of time at baseball games. I tell people this all the time. Unless I need to watch, I don't watch. Okay, out of market games, forget it. If you're in the playoffs, I'll watch. Otherwise, forget it. So before I get to Alex Cora on last night, because he did say something before the game that I found interesting, let's go to, I think it's Alan Boston wants to talk about the Red Sox bullpen. Go ahead.
Maz, we need to expand the wheel of gutless bums to the wheel of gutless and worthless bums. These guys suck and blow. They're so awful. They're worse than last year. And they don't have Kimbrel or Kelly.
Al, they're way worse than last year. Way worse than last year. Look, last year, at the end of the day, their bullpen was pretty good. It started to fade in the second half. They had a rough time. And then when they got to the postseason, they knew they had a hole in the bullpen, which is why they gave the ball to the starters. So they were able to manage around it, Cora was, during the regular season and go to, against bad competition mostly. But take a look at how they've performed of late against good teams especially. They've lost against Houston. They got battered by the Indians. They gave up a grand slam in New York earlier in the year. So they're at a major disadvantage against some of those teams in the late innings when they have to match up with the other bullpen. No matter how good the Red Sox lineup is, the Yankees lineup is pretty damn near close, at least when everybody's healthy. The Astros lineup, I think, is just as good, if not better, again, when everybody's healthy. So then it becomes matchups, your bullpen against their lineup or the other way around. And I look at that and I say, with the way the Red Sox are constructed right now, if you're playing New York or you're playing Houston, in particular, those two teams, which lineup would you rather be in the late innings? And the obvious answer is you'd rather be New York or you'd rather be Houston because you know that the relief pitching on the other side is worse. That's a significant factor. Now, given where they started the year, are the Red Sox in better shape? Yes. I mean, they were so bad in the early part of the year that they can't help but be in better shape now. Nonetheless, they've lost ground in the last 2 weeks. Again, the lead in the division has gone from, or the deficit for the Red Sox in the division has gone from 4 to 7.5. And as Murray pointed out, if heaven forbid, if they get swept this weekend, you're 10.5 out. 10.5 out in early June. Like, I don't think they're coming back from that. Not against the types of teams that exist in the division and the number of wins it's going to take to win the American League East. So David Lennon of Newsday sort of asked Cora a question last night. I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, again. He's back in Boston. So Jimmy's going to play it for you, and I'm going to ask Jimmy to stop it after the question by David Lennon before Cora gives his answer. But here's Dave Lennon asking Cora about the Red Sox last night.
Alex, I know you guys had a slow start, but since you played the Yankees last time, I think you have the second-best record in the division to them. And, these are the same names, you know, that you went out and won a title with last year for the most part. Do you just kind of expect this to kind of click in?
I do feel that.
So, Jimmy, yeah, let's stop there. Thank you, Jimmy. Go ahead, Murray. Oh, I thought you said something. I'm sorry. So the way David Lennon asked that question is, I think, how the national media is looking at the Red Sox. Well, yeah, you guys got off to a bad start, but now you have the second-best record in the division since that time. Is that the way you look at it, Murray?
No.
Like, do you look at it and say, well, the Red Sox actually, since the bad start, have played well. They have the second-best record in the division. Do you look at it that way?
No, not really.
I don't even come close to looking at it that way. And I see that. See, I think that that's one of those things where, again, on the outside, they say, oh, yeah, they were 6-13. But since that time, they've actually played pretty well. I look at the series against the Indians and I say they didn't play well there. They're not playing well of late. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros twice. They split with Houston. They split with Toronto, and they lost a series to the Indians. So this notion that they have the best record in the division, that was true maybe 2 weeks ago. But since that time, they're not playing well again. And Cora knows it. Okay, Cora knows it. So now here is Cora's answer to Lennon's question.
I do feel that the first 11 games of the season, it just a bad stretch. We didn't pitch well. We didn't play good defense. I think that was that's something that surprised me. We saw a few things in the outfield that we didn't see last year. We're in a good. I mean, we wanted to be somewhere else, of course, record-wise. But I think overall, the last three, four, the last month, we've been playing consistent baseball.
Okay, so again, if you listen to that last part, and Jimmy, it might be about the last 10 seconds, Cora starts to say, we're in a good place. We're in a good place. And he caught himself because he knows it's a lie. And I say a lie. That's the wrong way to put it. He knows it's not true. They're not in a good place. They're still not in a good place. They haven't been in a good place really all year long. And of late, even, they're not playing. So, Jimmy, if we could, just the last 10 seconds of it, if we can catch that part.
That's something that surprised me. We saw a few things in the outfield that we didn't see last year. We wanted to be somewhere else.
So, again, he starts to say, we're in a good place, and he catches himself. And I actually give Cora credit for this, because John Farrell would have blown sunshine and smoke right up your skirt. And he would have continued saying that. At least Cora caught himself. But they're not in a good place. They haven't played well the last couple of weeks. Don't kid yourself. They got their ass kicked by the Indians, for crying out loud. Now they're going into New York, and they're 7.5 out. You can't lose any more ground. You can't lose any more ground. You can't lose a game, let alone three. And those are really the outcomes aside from picking up ground on New York this weekend. The Red Sox have to take a minimum 2 out of 3 in this series, if you ask me. And I'm not telling you the season's over if we get to Monday and they lose 2 out of 3. But they're going backwards. The lead will have more than doubled. If they lose New York having lost 2 out of 3, the lead, or the deficit to the Yankees, will have more than doubled in 2.5 weeks. Steve's in Billerica. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, Maz, they won 108 games last year. I get it. But you cherry-picking and reaching for everything to prove that they're not good. And right now, they're hanging around.
Steve, can you do me a favor? Why is last year relevant anymore? Why is it relevant?
Oh, no, it's not relevant. It's not relevant. What I'm saying is, you're doing the same thing as last year. You're reaching and picking to prove they're not good. But they're hanging around. But listen, the other night when I told
you... No, listen. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang up. If last year's irrelevant, don't bring it up. You say they won 108 games last year. So last year I told you I had my doubts about whether or not they'd win in October. That's what I said. I had my doubts at whether or not they'd win in October. That's all I ever said. So people like you like to manipulate it and twist it into something else. I didn't believe in the bullpen last year. And you know what? Alex Cora didn't either. That's why he used David Price, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi. That's why he used all those guys in the eighth inning. I'm just tired of people saying, well, they won 108 games last year. So what are we going to do, not play? Are you not going to play this year? The season ticket holders, they get their money back? I mean, I hate that. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, but you're twisting it around. What I'm saying is, with no matter how many games they win every year, you're going to say the same thing about them. But listen, when I said the other night consistency, I'm not talking like hitting and pitching consistency. Like, what I'm talking about is, when you have a consistent lineup, meaning when you're in this pretty close to the same spot, you know, the same spot in the batting order, and you know you're in the seventh inning guy, you know the eighth inning guy, you know, it's a mindset thing. But everybody's all over the place. They don't know where they're coming. They don't know where they're going. It's like the Keystone Cops.
So you're talking about the way the bullpen is structured and set up.
Even the batting lineup, even the lineup, even though the offense is okay. I mean, they should have a set lineup that's pretty close to every night.
So, Steve, I'll tell you what. With the bullpen in particular, I agree with you. Okay, and when I get all worked up about people talking about last year, it's not about you, Steve. It's about the people who keep saying that. You just happen to be the one who brought it up tonight. I don't care how many games they won last year anymore. I don't. It's 2019. This is the problem they had at the beginning of the year. They weren't willing to move on. They were still holding on to 2018. So how long are we going to hold on to that? The season has started. You've played mediocre baseball now for more than a third of the year, and you're 7.5 out. So what are we going to do, just write off 2019? Is that what we're going to do? It drives me crazy. As for the bullpen, I believe in set roles. I think most people do because we understand that human beings like to be able to mentally prepare. That's what they like. They like to be able to mentally get ready, even however subtle it is. If you're a guy sitting in that bullpen, it's the sixth inning, and you typically pitch the eighth, when you start watching the game, you start to say, well, they're going to call on me here soon. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. So you can just mentally get ready. And with this bullpen, they haven't been able to do that. I do believe it's a factor. I agree with you on that. I believe it is a factor. The bigger factor is they don't have enough guys out there, because let me ask you this. Let's say Barnes becomes the closer. Barnes gets the ninth. Who gets the other three innings? And in what order? And the answer is there isn't any order because you don't have guys that are good enough. So would it help if Barnes were the closer all the time? Sure. But I think ultimately, even if he's waiting there in the ninth, you might never get to him, and that's a problem. Charles is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, Tony. Jim Murray brought up a really good point at the beginning of your show. If the Red Sox gets swept, they're you know, 10.5 out. But, you know, this tough stretch of schedule isn't over. They still have Tampa Bay and Minnesota. So, hypothetically, they have to sweep this weekend. If they don't, they could be 12, 13 games out before, you know, the middle of June. So, my question to you is, I think that's much more likely. And I love the Red Sox, but I think it's more likely with this team and the way they're structured. If that's the case, who is on the trading block?
Okay, so Charles, honestly, I haven't gotten there yet. And this has crossed my mind, too, and I've been reluctant to touch on it because I think it's a little too early. So, you know, if they're 14 out in, you know, 3 weeks, then we can talk because the division's going to be out of play. But then even if that happens, they'll be in contention for a wild card spot, and I have a hard time believing they're going to sell off pieces if they have a chance to get in the play-in game and then do damage in the playoffs after that. Because that's what they'll pitch it as, is, hey, look, we got off to a bad start. We dug ourselves a hole. It got worse as a result of what our start was. We couldn't, you know, we didn't do enough damage against bad teams, and then we hit good competition and we skidded again. But we're still in it. We're still in it. And if we get in, and we can pitch Sale in the play-in game, we like our pitching against anybody, and we'll take our chances. So I don't know that they're ever really going to get to that point where they just say, that's it, we're done, we're selling off pieces. But believe me, it's crossed my mind too. You're not wrong to bring that up. You're not wrong to bring it up, and it's sound, logical thinking. Heaven forbid they really get their asses kicked and they look up and they're a dozen games out or 14 games out of the division. Let's say it actually gets real bad and you're five out in the wild card. Then you really have a decision to make. The bottom line is they got to play better soon, like now. Now would be a good time to start. We'll wrap it up with your calls and give you the matchups of the day. When we come back, we'll also check in with Adam Jones, who I'm sure will have some sort of rosy outlook on Boston sports at 7 o'clock. We'll check in with him in a bit.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Big matchup of the game is brought to you by Big Y World Class Markets, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years, thanks to the folks at Big Y. Murray gave you a glimpse at this last night because, again, there was a rainout. But I think it's worth revisiting, given that the game is now just several minutes away. Red Sox and Yankees, series opener in New York. Three games that are more important to the Red Sox than they are to the Yankees. Again, I just think that's usually the case. The team that's chasing has a greater need to win. And the Red Sox have their pitching lined up. They get to rest their bullpen after the disaster that was that Cleveland series the last couple of nights. So they're in pretty good shape, all things considered, going in terms of the state of their pitching staff. Sale tonight, Porcello tomorrow, Price on Sunday. Eduardo Rodriguez available out of the bullpen, as Alex Cora told us, for two innings tonight. Multiple innings, he said. Likely two there. And if he doesn't pitch tonight, Rodriguez could give him an inning tomorrow because he won't start until Tuesday in Kansas City. But your Big Y matchups. Just quickly, Chris Sale against the Yankees, numbers-wise, has done pretty well. And so the guy you got to keep an eye on, based on the history, is Kendrys Morales. He'll be DHing for the Yankees tonight. He's got three homers and an OPS of over 900 against Sale in his career. Or just under 900, I should say. But I think a lot of that came earlier on, or at least a couple of years ago. I don't know that he did much against him last season. I don't have any recollection that he did. The one I'm interested in watching tonight is Gary Sanchez. 3-for-20 with 8 strikeouts in his career against Sale. But Sanchez is having a hell of a year. And, you know, to me, that is one that let's see if he is truly a different player, Gary Sanchez is. On the other side of it, Jay Happ against the Red Sox. I mean, there's the matchup that just sticks out like nobody's business. Steve Pierce kills Jay Happ. Kills him. He hits 3-14 with an OPS over 1,300, 6 homers, and 16 RBI, along with 5 walks. He crushes this guy. Pierce is batting 6th tonight for the Red Sox in New York against the Yankees.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.